In the year 2018, I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, I really want to grow my prayer life. It was like one of the disciples saying, God, teach me how to pray. And what I found in going to the Lord in this prayer was that it's just a continual momentum of growth. That the moment you begin to go to God and ask Him to grow in something, you just never stop growing. You never stop learning. He keeps instructing and guiding and leading you. You recognize just how good He is and how beautiful and how full of power His word is, that it is the truth. And in this journey, I'm just so thankful for the Holy Spirit leading me how to pray, being my helper. You know what's so awesome about God and what a good father that He is one, He gave us His one and only Son so that we may have life and life in abundance, so that through the precious blood of Jesus, we have access to the throne room of God, that the blood of Jesus is continually drawing your heart near and hearts across this globe near to the heart of the Father. But He didn't stop there. He said, hey, you're going to need a helper, and it's the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, we find that the Holy Spirit would set upon people. But in the New Testament, from the day of Pentecost on, the Holy Spirit, He filled us up. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost and power. The disciples, leaving that upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Acts 1:8 in the Amplified actually says that they were given power and ability to be a witness of Jesus when they received the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you guys, but I want power and ability to be a witness for Jesus. So that means I need help from the Holy Ghost. This morning's message, we are going to talk about Spirit-led prayer. And I'm super excited because I believe that as we press into this, the Holy Spirit, He's just going to show you some things that maybe you need sharpened on, to encourage you, to get you excited about prayer, that maybe you've become weary. I found myself in a season, actually about a year and a half ago, where I had become weary in some aspects of my prayer life, but it's because I had allowed fear to creep in, and I was praying more from fear and frustration than faith in God. And I thought, why am I feeling so heavy after this time of prayer? The Holy Spirit said, hey, because you've allowed Satan to put some thoughts in, and it doesn't belong to you. The Holy Spirit, you guys, He's just going to show you some beautiful things today. It's going to be awesome. But you got to set your heart to receive. The Word of God tells us to have spiritual ears that are open, right? That we're listening, and that we're going to actively be a doer of the Word. So before I was asked to minister, I had this, I'd put, you know, I don't know about you guys, I like to put things in my notes and my phone just as I'm talking to the Lord so I can remember. And I had put this down in my notes, and then Joshua came and he said, hey, I'd like you to minister this last Sunday. And I go, oh, I already have my notes. Well, it was like two sentences. So it wasn't all of my notes, but I do want to read what the Holy Spirit had ministered to me. He said, we are often allowing our soul or our intellect to lead us when the Bible very clearly commands for believers to be led by the Holy Spirit. Feelings are fickle and emotions run high and low, but the Holy Spirit speaks to us on behalf of the Lord and guides us into all truth. Praise God for the leading of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. Spirit-led prayer will show you how to praise in a battle. Spirit-led prayer will give you a word of wisdom right when you need it. Spirit-led prayer will preserve you. Spirit-led prayer will give you peace and cause you to speak to that storm in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit-led prayer will guide you in your next best step. Spirit-led prayer will pick you up out of that miry clay and remind you who you are in Christ. Spirit-led prayer will cause you to be the person to go to someone else and help them to remove that garment of heaviness for one of praise and thanksgiving? Have you ever had a jacket on and you need someone to pull the sleeve for you? Because you're stuck, you feel like you're trapped forever. Spirit-led prayer will say, hey, you need to go over to that sister or brother in the Lord and help them. Intercede on their behalf. Church, this whole month has been awesome about prayer. And there's a shift taking place at Trailhead Church in how we pray and what we pray, the purpose behind our prayer, and encouragement in Christ Jesus, knowing that God hears us, that He's for us, that He's so good, that He's with us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have some things in our hearts that we need to surrender to the Lord in prayer, and then choose to never pick it up again. Begin to trust God with it. Because how often do we go to the throne room and we'll leave things, and then before you know it, we're like, but God, I'm just going to hold on to this for a little while. You guys, we're going to be leaving some things in the throne room today, trusting God with it, and we're never picking it up again in Jesus' name. Why? Because this is it. If out of your heart, the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, when you hold on to things that don't belong to you, you're going to find it's what you're talking about. Whether it's anger, whether it's shame, whether it's sickness, whether you feel weary. How many of you find yourself saying, man, I'm tired all the time? Why? Because you need to go to the throne room and receive that help and that mercy in your time of need. So here we are, holding on to things when God's told us to take these things to Him in prayer, and that He's given us a helper to do it. When we're led by the Holy Spirit in prayer, we'll be led by the Holy Spirit in our everyday life, and this is how good fruit is produced. This is how we produce good fruit. Comes from Spirit-led prayer. In Galatians chapter 5, we read all about the fruit of the Spirit. In verses 16 through 26, and it's just so good, I'm going to read some of these scriptures today. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. When we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in prayer, the Holy Spirit will begin to guide us, and you'll come out of that prayer. We've got five things we're going to talk about today of how the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. But what's so cool about it is you'll come out of that prayer strengthened in the Lord, ready to fight the battles. Why? Because we go through some things in life, don't we? And I want to go through whatever battle I'm facing today, being led by the Holy Ghost in prayer with power and ability, bearing good fruit and flourishing in every season. But that's going to come from receiving His help in my prayer time. It's going to come from recognizing that I have a helper, that I've got that power, that I've got that authority, that He's coming in and He's showing me things to come. Oh, He's just, He's the best. Yeah. If you continue to read here in verse 18, it says, but when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation to the law of Moses. But when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he goes on to tell us, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Then he goes on to tell us that those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and the sinful nature, the desires, those passions, desires of sinful nature on the cross. Why? Because Jesus crucified them there. So we've got to wake up to what Spirit-led prayer will do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit convicts you of these things. Not so you can be in a place of condemnation. No, but a beautiful place of conviction to expose that darkness. Why? Because you've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, of the love of God. We got to wake up to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. That as we pray, you go, oh, I should be coming out of this prayer session producing good fruit. Amen? I shouldn't be coming out of a prayer session wanting to go have a wild drunk party. That's not what the Holy Spirit's leading me to do. I shouldn't be coming out of this prayer session wanting to be in a spirit of strife with my spouse any longer. I should come out of this prayer session knowing that I've got a spirit of gentleness. And that fruit is being produced in my life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding me that way. Leonard Ravenhill said, and listen, when I said, Lord, show me how to pray, I began to study from Leonard Ravenhill, and what a mighty man of prayer. He said, no man is greater than his prayer life. No church is greater than their prayer life. This goes across the board. Too many times we say that we believe in prayer, but we actually don't do much praying. It's one thing to believe in prayer, and it's another thing to pray. To actually be intentional about it and go before the Lord and say, God, I want to talk to you all day long. We can study on prayer, we can learn much, but what we really need is to take that place, that posture in the throne room of grace, begin to experience and learn and allow the Holy Spirit to help us. It doesn't matter how much you know intellectually, if you don't know how to pray, you're going to feel defeated in life. The crisis of life come to all of us, and none of us are immune to it. But when you know how to pray, you'll also know what to pray for. Our nation desperately needs prayer. This world desperately needs prayer. And the church desperately needs prayer. God hears and he answers prayer. So it's time that we take a stand in the body of Christ as believers. Stand on God's word and let heaven, hell, and all of earth know that God's word is true, that we believe it, and that we're going to grow in our prayer life. That we're going to go to battle in prayer. That we're not going to allow the world to determine what's taking place. It's also good to recognize this. No one is born a full-grown adult. We're born as babies and we grow up. My husband likes to say that he's still growing. I think he's talking about his ears. Well, guess what? No one's born just a full-grown Christian either. Christians are newborn babes, and we need to grow and mature in the Word and in our prayer life. And that prayer life should be the driving force of our prayer, of our growth and our maturity. God wants us to grow spiritually. I don't want to just give my life to Jesus and be the same old Anna. No, Lord, transform me. How many of us, we got a testimony of Jesus where he transformed our life? Yeah. You say, God, I want to grow in you. I want to know you. I want you to grow in me. Yeah. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3, it says, like newborn babes. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Praise God. Let's read our first scripture on the Holy Ghost this morning. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17 in the Amplified Classic Edition. We're going to get a little wordy here in the Amplified. I enjoy the Amplified. It just expounds on the Word of God, brings those words out here in the Greek. It's going to bless you. If you really love me, says Jesus speaking, if you really love me, you will keep or obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper. Ooh, hold on. Before I read this, I pray the Holy Spirit paints a picture of who He is in your life. Don't just take those words and let it go one ear out the other and throw it to the side. No, 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 no. I want you to think about how He's helping you today. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He is my helper. He is my intercessor. He is my advocate. He is my strengthener. And He is my standby, that He may remain with me forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or welcome or take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know and recognize Him, but you know and recognize Him, for He lives with you constantly and will be in you. You have everything you need this morning to live a Spirit-led prayer life. The Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, giving you power and ability to be a witness for Jesus. Being your counselor, your intercessor, standby. I think of Him standing right here helping me preach to you guys right now. Before I came up here, I said, Holy Spirit, I'm not going up there without You helping me. He wants to help you in every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to pray. Why do we need help in prayer? Do you ever ask God these random questions? Sometimes I think it's so funny. You get online and you start looking up these memes and it's like silly things that you're asking God in the middle of the night. God, did Adam have a belly button? You know, like those things make me laugh. You know, like those little kid questions, little kid Christian questions that just make you laugh so hard. But I love to walk through the Word and just say, God, why do I need help? I just want You to show me what this looks like. Why? Because in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. What? We're in a fight of faith? Is that something new to anybody this morning? No, we're all in this together? We're all in the army of the Lord? Yeah? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, because I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned, and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses. You actually made a decision to step into this good fight of faith when you confessed that Jesus was Lord over your life. But don't you love so much that it's not the bad fight of faith, but it's a good fight of faith? Why? Because Jesus already defeated death, hell, and the grave on the cross. And we have victory in Him, and the greater one lives on the inside of me. So then as I go through my everyday life, I got to recognize there's going to be some things that I come up against. And it's hard. So when I said, Lord, why do I need help in prayer? Because He said, you can't do this in your own human flesh. You need supernatural power to combat the forces of the enemy, and the Holy Spirit, I gave Him to you so He will help you to pray. Encourage you. Be your intercessor. Show you how to pray. Show you things to come. Give you boldness and power. There's a direction that the Holy Spirit will lead us in prayer, and it's a prayer battle plan. So we're going to talk about 5 ways that the Holy Spirit will help you to pray. There are many more ways. This isn't it, you guys. There are many more ways. You may be asking, why did I get that little note card this morning? You got a little note card. If you didn't get that note card and you need a note card, raise your hand right now. We'll go ahead and give it to you. I have lost my note card. It's in my Bible. I call it Bible confetti. I wrote on it. No, I wrote on it. And for those that are home, oh, I found it. Found it. For those that are home, get you a note card. We got some hands in the back that need note cards. Jeremy, you're a marathon runner. I'm going to need you to run real fast back there. You say, why did I receive this note card? Before we get into these five things, I told you we're going to have an attitude of prayer. From now to the end of this service, and at any moment, so if you think, oh gosh, I'm writing on this note card while Pastor Ann is saying something important, the Holy Spirit is much more important than I am. And he's going to show you some things that you need to surrender to God today. So what am I going to ask you to put on this note card? Holy Spirit, guide me unto this. You're going to write down what you need the Holy Spirit to guide you in right now. What you need is help with. And also would love for you to write down something you need to surrender to the Lord. So I don't have anything. Hogwash. I surrender things to God all day long. All day long. Heard a pastor say this weekend at this marriage retreat. He said, I'm like a washing machine. I repent all throughout the day, just make sure my heart's right. And I was like, me too. Me too. Holy Spirit, guide me in this. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and Switchback Youth, and don't put your name on the card. You don't need to. God knows who you are. At the end of the service, during a worship song, during a time of worship, we're going to lay these cards at the altar here as an act of worship and surrender to God. At the beginning of the month, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit every Wednesday night in Switchback Youth. First Wednesday was the Holy Spirit is my guide, and I had the kids do this, and they brought their cards up to the front. And I didn't read them. You know, they were giving them to the Lord, but I gathered them up and I picked up a couple. And I started to cry of these prayers that our teenagers had written before God. I'm going to read a couple to you this morning. Holy Spirit, help me to do better at guitar so I can lead worship one day. Holy Spirit wants to guide me in soccer. Yeah, he does. One thing he can help me with is to make me feel like I'm not alone. The Holy Spirit's going to guide me in the right direction. I need to give my all to God. Holy Spirit, guide me in the moving process. I need to set a time aside for the Holy Spirit by leaving my phone and not mess with it every 10 to 15 minutes. I learned the Holy Spirit can help me bring my friends to God. I need to surrender my friends at school. Holy Spirit wants to help me with my relationships. God, I surrender my worries to the Lord. This is 6th through 12th grade. I think we only have one 12th grader there that night. This blessed me. The Holy Spirit wants to help us in every aspect of our lives. Right. We're going to just have a point of contact this morning. Are you all with me on this? Yeah. And I believe during worship, the Lord gave me mine. And I wrote mine down. And I'm thankful for it. And the first way the Holy Spirit wants to help me to pray is he wants to give me Holy Spirit prayer strategies. Holy Spirit prayer strategies. You see, Spirit-led prayer partners with God through the mighty name of Jesus to see God's kingdom reign in our lives and on this earth. So the Holy Spirit wants to give you a prayer strategy today. Joshua and I have asked his help for so many prayer strategies for our four children. Over these 19 years of parenting, and I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will give you a prayer strategy for your spouse. The Holy Spirit will take you from frustration to faith within that prayer strategy. Holy Spirit's going to give you a prayer strategy when you're at the end of yourself. How many we've been there? You are at the prayer of consecration. God, not my will, but your will be done. I don't even know what to pray. The Holy Spirit, as you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he intercedes on your behalf. Glory to God. These are all prayer strategies. We see this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. We're very familiar with the armor of God, but I want to read just a couple of scriptures here. We don't have time to go over the entire armor. In verse 10, it says, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides." Then it goes on to talk about, in verse 12, that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. Who are we wrestling against? Yeah, spiritual opponents, right? Against the powers, the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Then he goes on to tell us to stand firm and to armor up. We've got our belt of truth, our breastplate of righteousness. We got the mind of Christ with our helmet of salvation. We got our gospel shoes of peace. We've got our shield of faith, which is so big it quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. And we've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But then what I love so much is it doesn't stop right there within this set of scripture. He then gives us instruction once we are armored up. First, he tells us we're going to find our strength from Him. Then he lets us know you're not battling against people, so stop being hateful to people that are hurting you. You're battling against Satan and these evil forces in this earth. Then he tells us to get all armored up. Why? Because we're in a good fight of faith. Now he's going to give us prayer strategy from the Holy Ghost. So then he goes on to say this in verse 18. Pray at all times. All times? On every occasion, in every season. How do we pray? In the Spirit. With all manner of prayer and entreaty. There's actually different types of prayers. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Then Paul goes on to say, and pray for me. I love Paul. He's all the time asking people to pray for him. He just humbles himself before the Lord and says, pray for me too. I need it. You see, the Word of God reveals to us that there are different kinds of prayer to help us pray more effectively. We need to learn what the Word of God says about these kinds of prayers. This way, we're praying effectively according to God's Word, which gives the Holy Spirit more work to do, and He wants to do that work as He leads us into a lifestyle of answered prayer. So He talks about all manners of prayer. We got prayer of dedication. A lot of us, we've prayed that prayer of salvation. If you have it, today's your day. Prayer of intercession, prayer of adoration, prayer of deliverance, prayer of protection, Psalm 91, prayer of agreement, prayers for repentance, prayer of supplication. We've got the prayer of faith, prayer of thanksgiving, praying with other tongues, prayer of petitions, prayer of consecration. Glory to God. Holy Spirit has all kinds of prayer strategies. There are many types of Spirit-led prayer. We're going to talk about two this morning very quickly because they're mentioned here. First is the prayer of supplication. Many of you have read scripture about supplication, and you may have wondered, what exactly is supplication? It's a very simple definition. Supplication defined is a humble, earnest entreaty or request. If a request was not made in a heartfelt, fervent, and earnest manner, it would not be supplication. A key ingredient to the prayer of supplication is desire. Without desire, the prayer of supplication will never get off the ground. So when you're in the prayer of supplication, you have an earnest and fervent desire to see God work and move. Have you ever just felt so full of compassion for someone that you just start praying for them, wanting God so desperately to move in their life? Have you ever just, God, I need you to do this in my life. I need you to do this in my church. I need you. Lord, help them in this business. Help them, Father God. I mean, it just covers so many wonderful things. So for who can supplication be made? Well, we can make it for yourself. concerning both natural and spiritual needs. We find that in Philippians 4, 6, talking about praying for everything, right? Making our requests known about everything. Second, we pray this prayer of supplication for God's people. Believers are all saints, which we just read about in Ephesians 6, 18. We also, the prayer of supplication could be made for laborers for the harvest. We read about that in Matthew 9, 37 through 38. He says, pray for laborers for the harvest. Have you been praying for laborers for Trailhead Kids? Hey, I need more laborers and Switchback Youth. I've been praying for it. I've been making supplication that God send in the right people. Amen? To lift up the spiritual needs of others. The word pray or prayer in the following verses, it actually means earnest, heartfelt prayer. In Ephesians 1, 6, we don't have time to go through this all, but I like to give you the scripture. I know some of you like to write it down. Philippians 1, 9, Colossians 1, 9, Colossians 4, 12. You go, wait, all of this is supplication? Yes. Then we have the prayer of intercession. Intercession defined, one who pleads another's case. Woo, an intercessor takes the place of another. And the key ingredient to the prayer of intercession is love. Holy Spirit intercession is born from love. You love those so much you're interceding for, you can't stop praying until they have what they need from God. That you are taking the place of another. You guys, these are just two different ways that the Holy Spirit will give you a prayer strategy and lead you into prayer. We're able to use intercession like we read, and we're in this election season in 1 Timothy 2, you know, 1 through 4, how he talks about praying for all men, interceding for this nation and this world, for the gospel to be preached. You know, the devil does not want this gospel to be preached. Why? Because his end will come. Because his end will come. But this is why we've got to get in and pray and intercede on behalf of the church. Number two, the Holy Spirit strengthens me and he builds me up. Spirit-led prayer is going to strengthen you and build you up. Spirit-led prayer gives God the problem in order for him to work it out and perfect that which concerns us. I pray that all the time. Lord, I need you to perfect this which concerns me. Just do a work in it. Heavenly Father, I love how it starts out in Ephesians chapter 6. God, I need your strength today. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, in what you've called me to do. Jude, the book of Jude, verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Spirit. When you study that out, that building up is actually building up. That the Holy Spirit wants to come in and strengthen you from the ground up, from your innermost being. Why? So that you can persevere in what God's called you to do. I need the Holy Spirit to strengthen me in my prayer life. In every aspect of my life, in my marriage, in my parenting, in serving the Lord with gladness and joy. How many of us know when we're tired or weary, we can get cranky? We look cranky, we feel cranky. We need supernatural strength from the Holy Ghost and to draw strength from the Lord by praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that Spirit-led prayer draws on the Lord's strength to build your life. Then the Holy Spirit keeps me in the love of Christ. Woo! You know what? We should have just parked there all day long. The Holy Spirit will keep you in the love of Jesus Christ. Anyone else you need the Holy Spirit to help you stay in love? Like 24/7. Let's get honest. Jude, verse 21. So we talk about in verse 20 how he's going to strengthen us praying in the Spirit. But I love the continuation of this scripture passage. Then he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's all encompassing in your time of Spirit-led prayer. You see, Spirit-led prayer exposes sin and allows the light of Christ to shine in the darkness and to dispel the very nature of sin in our lives in order for transformation to take place that brings glory to the Lord. Spirit-led prayer comes in and says, hey, that's not in love. And let's be real, if it's not in love, then it's in sin. Why? Because God is love. In every aspect of our prayer life, we have the love of God that is shed abroad by the power of the Holy Ghost in our hearts. So as we are led by the Holy Spirit in these prayer strategies, in this good fight of faith, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit keeping me in the love of God. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, it's part of the Ephesians prayer. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you will be rooted and grounded in love. This is a prayer, Spirit-led prayer. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you will be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise God. Then the Holy Spirit guides me into all truth. We actually have a direction to follow. John chapter 16, 13 through 15, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority. He will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He says he will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and reveal, disclose, and transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. So the Holy Spirit will then guide you into all truth. He speaks what the Father is saying, and he'll give that message to you. He'll announce and declare the things to come. He'll honor and glorify Jesus. Hallelujah. Takes what belongs to Jesus and says, hey, it belongs to you too. What belongs to the Father belongs to the Son, and the Holy Spirit declares that in your heart. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me today. The number five, and I want to encourage you to start writing. What do you need the Holy Spirit to guide you in? What's something you say, Holy Spirit, I need your help in this? Maybe it's you need strength from the Holy Ghost today. Maybe it's an encouragement. Maybe it's something that you need to know in the future. I praise God. I've had so many beautiful moments where the Holy Spirit has shown me things right on time that gave me such peace that I was ready. Several years ago, Josh and I, we were backpacking. We were hiking. We were going to summit Mount Whitney. And it's a six-day trip. Long journey, beautiful journey, hard journey. Day one, I finished the day with my shoes, which I thought were great, were not so great. And I had bruised the back of my heel up to where both of my Achilles tendons were. I'm talking serious pain. It was day one. I had five more days to go. All above 10,000 feet elevation. With a 35-pound pack on my back. You know, it's interesting, the journey we start at times, that sometimes things happen we didn't plan for. I remember going to the Lord and I said, Holy Spirit, I need help here. I can't quit. I'm in this thing. How many? We're in this thing. We cannot be defeated and we will not quit. We're moving forward and finishing this journey. We're fighting this good fight of faith. And I said, Holy Spirit, I need help. I need you to guide me. I need you to show me. I got to do something different. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to begin to march right on the inside. He said, I want you to march. And I was like this? Yeah, that's what marching is. That next day, I began to praise the Lord and just worship God. And as we're walking that day, we started off with these big stone steps that were very daunting. And here comes Anna and Jesus, marching up those steps. Holy Spirit power. And I'm Josh's like, what are you doing? And I said, listen, I'm just marching today. Because nobody wants to hike with someone that's complaining about everything. Or constantly in this place where it's all, you know, horrible and you're not going to make it. This is why we need his help. And I knew, I thought, I don't want to be that person on this trip right now. As I began to march that day, what it did, it took the pressure off of the back of my heels and allowed my feet to rest. By the end of the day, there's a video of me, and I'm dancing like this. And I'm singing this song that I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. He is my strength and my shield. He gives power to all. I am free from condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. That's what I was singing at the top of that mountain. Do you remember that video? The Lord did a healing work, and I finished that entire journey in his strength and his power and his might. Why? From the Holy Spirit just telling me to march, changing my steps. Could be the Holy Spirit just, you just got to change something that he shows you to change. With that, the Holy Spirit is living water. You see, Spirit-led prayer, number five, the Holy Spirit is living water, refreshing you today, encouraging you today, giving you what you need. Spirit-led prayer brings us to the throne room in a posture of humility, knowing that only through Jesus is the impossible possible. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I believe that at this present moment, God's people ought to cry to him day and night that there may be a fresh baptism into the Holy Ghost. There are many things that are desirable for the church of Christ, but one thing is absolutely needful, and that is the one thing, the power of the Holy Ghost in the midst of his people. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. This is Jesus. Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. But he was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him, were afterward to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified or raised to honor. Jesus, on that last day of the great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles was a joyful week-long celebration in September, October, when families camped out in temporary shelters to remember God's faithfulness in Israel, in the wilderness on the way from Egypt to Canaan under Moses. On this last day, you see, it lasted 8 days. In the first 7 days, they would draw water from the pool of Siloam, and it was carried in this golden pitcher and would be poured out on the altar to remind everyone of the water that God miraculously provided for them. But on the 8th day, there was no pouring water, only prayers for water reminding them that they needed the Lord. Jesus, he stood up there and he cries out in great importance. He says, if anyone thirsts, come to me. You know, it's interesting. He said, if anyone. First, it's realizing your need, that you're thirsty. Anyone, no matter where you're at, where you've been, where you came from, anyone, come and drink. He said that only I can satisfy your deepest thirst, your spiritual thirst. But first, you've got to realize that you need to drink, that you need him in your life, that there's a lack of something, an emptiness, a crying need without him, without the Holy Spirit. Then he says, he who believes in me. This is one's faith of trusting and relying on Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then he tells you to drink. Well, how many of us know that anybody can drink? As a matter of fact, the world talks all about drinking, just the wrong things. When we drink from living water, he said, when we drink from the fountain that never runs dry, out of our heart will flow living water from our innermost being. And that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will bring this life and refresh you. and flow like a river through your time of prayer. All you have to do is trust and rely on the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up. This morning, as we sing this worship song, and this is how we're going to finish up today, as you come to the altar, you can head out and leave and do what you need to do. But we're going to present what we need to present to the Lord this morning, what we need help with. It's between you and Jesus. So I'm going to encourage, if you have written this down, when you're finished as we sing, you can fold it up, you can put it down, but come up front and lay it. And as you walk out of here today, begin to praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit is leading you, guiding you, refreshing you, strengthening you, helping you to walk in love today in your time of prayer and thanksgiving. Father, we commit this unto you in Jesus' name. Thank you.